Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Our text for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, the sixth chapter, beginning at the sixth verse. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are the truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, it was 25 years ago that I first stepped on this campus as a student, and I found my place over in Tygan Hall. And I remember it was probably a couple months after I had moved in that there was a young man, fellow student, knocking on doors. And I opened mine. And he said, "Hey, do you want to learn how to make some quick money?" I'm like, "Sure, of course." You know, poor college student. He said, "Oh, yeah, we're having a meeting down in the lounge." So I headed down that way. His older brother, just a few years older than him, but attending MSU, was there, and he was presenting to a bunch of the young men there in the dorm. And he told us all we had to do was give him a couple hundred bucks, sign up for this company, and the money would start rolling in. We just have to find individuals that would also be under us as sales representatives and so forth, and we would get a part, a commission of their sales. We really had to do nothing other than finding those people, and they would find other people and other people and other people. It probably was about the second or maybe it was even the third time that I went to one of these meetings that we finally found out what we were selling. It was something like an online legal document service or something like that. But he reassured us, "Well, don't worry, you don't really have to sell it to anyone. You just have to find people under you to do it." It sounded like a great way to get a lot of money, to get a lot of a great gain, right? In our lesson for today, though, God tells us that there is great gain that is found in another place. He says this, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." It doesn't seem likely, though, does it? Seems far more likely we'd find great gain in a get-rich-quick scheme. For those here today, you've probably, over the last few years of your life, kind of looked forward to every next step because you're allowed to legally do certain things with each age as it progresses. Maybe hit 14, I can legally get a job. 15, I can get my learner's permit. 16, of course, I can drive. 17, I can see certain movies. 18, I'm a legal adult. I can vote, I can move out, and of course, I can gamble, right? It's kind of a rite of passage, isn't it, for young people when they turn 18, buy a lottery ticket, maybe go to the casino. After all, what harm could it possibly do? But there's probably many people here today that maybe know someone who's kind of gotten caught up in greed when it comes to gambling. Maybe they've got caught up so much that they've gone into debt, or maybe they wasted away an entire paycheck, or maybe they burned relationships because they've been borrowing money from so many people. And greed results in destruction, not just in the case of gambling, but get-rich-quick schemes, or maybe people doing foolish things when it comes to stocks. Or I think of even maybe the pursuit of work as well. That seems so good. But also that, too, can lead to destruction, becoming a workaholic, burning relationships, maybe losing your focus on your studies even here at school and that sort of things. It reminds us what Paul says in our text for today. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. But as we also see in our lesson for today, we shouldn't just be concerned about greed leading to harmful things in this life, but also how those things can ultimately affect our spiritual life too. St. Paul writes in Colossians 3, "So put to death whatever is worldly in you, sexual immorality, uncleanness, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry." And we maybe often don't think about greed in that way enough. You know, we know what God commands us in his word to fear, love, and trust in him above all things, but how easy it is for us to revere and honor money above all else. After all, money talks, right? Or to love or desire money more than God, certainly, in our pursuit of it, too. Or, of course, as well with this, to trust money, to trust the amount of money we have in our bank account. We can rely on that. We can feel secure because of it. But there's one fatal flaw in all of this. Money doesn't last, does it? And St. Paul writes in our text, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." There was an ancient Greek author by the name of Athenaeus who wrote about a man who so loved his money that he sold gold coins inside of the pockets of his coat in which he was to die. He even swallowed some of the coins right before death. You'd maybe say, how foolish, right? Don't you realize you can't take it with you? If we dug up his grave today, what would we find? Bones and gold coins. They would still be there, but he wouldn't be, at least not the part of him that is eternal, his eternal soul. And I'm sure for that man that his eternal fate in that way, he wound up probably much like the man that we hear about in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, who focused so much on worldly wealth and pleasure that he didn't have time to think about death. He overlooked a critical piece of evidence that everyone dies, and yet his pursuit of wealth caused him to overlook that, not focus on it, and it was too late when he died and he found himself suffering in hell. So what should he have done differently? We think about not focusing so much on the things of this world that don't last, to focus on money and to be greedy after those things, but instead to focus on the things of God. We ourselves too here today, though, maybe have yet fallen into that trap. Even though we know we should focus on the things of God, we can fall into that same trap of greed, and God speaks sternly to us. As he says in 1 Corinthians 6, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor males who have sex with males, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor the verbally abusive, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Among that long list that we often mention this passage in another context to talk about sexual sins, but note who's listed among them. The greedy, nor the greedy will inherit the kingdom of God. Because of their greed, because of their idolatry, because of our greed and idolatry, we can place ourselves ultimately outside of God's kingdom. But thanks be to God, he doesn't end the passage there. It continues. "And some of you were those types of people, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Yes, God has washed you. He has washed me. He has washed us in the waters of holy baptism, which ultimately has forgiven all of our sins and connected us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are justified, declared righteous in God's sight, sanctified by the Holy Spirit who helps to work in us that new life, that Christian life that we desire to live. Not because of us and what we have done, but wholly because of God and what he has done for us. So what now? Well, God invites us ultimately to live for him, and he encourages us to consider his advice today. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so instead of pursuing wealth, pursuing money, making that our number one priority in this life, he says, pursue righteousness. Know better the righteousness of Christ that covers you like this white robe that I'm wearing today that covers you and your sins. Pursue faith. Trusting and clinging to Jesus as your Savior and wanting to be strengthened in that faith as you're doing here today, coming to chapel and hearing God's word proclaimed. As he encourages us as well, pursue love. Instead of loving yourself, love your neighbor as yourself, just as Christ ultimately loved you. Pursue things like patience and pursue things like gentleness as well. Because Christ has done these things for you, and we desire also to reflect the love and kindness and patience and gentleness that he has shown for us ultimately in our lives. In all of this, he encourages us to do it with contentment. And that's tough, though, for us. To be content, to be satisfied, to be happy, right? It's so easy in this day and age as we are on social media and we see the things that everyone else has. But instead, God would say he would have us reflect on the things that he has given us. He's given us the basic necessities, food and clothing and shelter. He's provided for so many needs that we have. And he wants us to realize that the things that we have in this life don't last, but eternal life will. And so keep our eyes focused on that. And remember, as Paul says, our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Sometimes I think for us as Christians, we maybe can act like children that are on a long car ride to Disney World. They're screaming and causing all sorts of commotion in the car, just being awful to their parents, not realizing where they're going, right? They're going to Disney World, right? And to think about for ourselves, when we focus on eternity and that gift that God has given us as well, that gives us a different perspective in life, helps us to ultimately rearrange our priorities instead of money and wealth to pursue godliness with contentment. Well, things didn't turn out so well for me when it came to that get-rich-quick scheme. I ended up losing $300, if you can believe it, in, as you probably guessed, a pyramid scheme. It certainly wasn't a way to gain, at least not the gain that I was seeking. Let us, though, instead focus our attention on things that last, the eternal, and know the wonderful gift that God has given us of eternal life and salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. And to understand that godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Dear Lord God, this world is filled with many temptations to seek after money and wealth. We ourselves have often been weak and at times feared love and trusted money more than you. Forgive us our sin for Jesus' sake, and help us to live for you and to know that godliness with contentment is great gain. Help us ever to be mindful of eternity and to live our lives knowing that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.